In the effort to counter threats from China, the United States will share its nuclear-powered submarine technology with Australia. The move is part of a trilateral defense partnership with Australia and the United Kingdom. Here's President Biden speaking yesterday during a virtual press conference with his Australian and British counterparts.
We need to be able to address both the current strategic environment in the region and how it may evolve, because the future of each of our nations, and indeed the world, depends on a free and open Indo-Pacific enduring and flourishing in the decades ahead.
For more, we're joined by Christopher Johnson, head of China Strategies Group and former senior China analyst for the CIA. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yes, glad to have you. So this is only the second time the U.S. has shared its submarine technology. The first was back in 1958 with Great Britain during the Cold War. What's the significance of collaborating in this way?
Well, I think it's a fundamental recognition that as we seek to meet increasing challenges, especially from countries like China, to deal with the massive increase in naval building that they've been doing over the last several years, we have to work even more closely with allies and partners. And of course, ourselves and a lot of our allies have increasingly limited budgets for these sort of things. So my sense is this is a way for us to not only stretch the dollars, if you will, within the community to increase our capability, but also just another formal sign of bringing the Australians ever closer to us and the UK as part of that classic relationship between the three countries.
Let's parse this out a little bit more. The announcement comes as territorial disputes in the South China Sea have escalated in recent years. Help us understand what's going on there.
Obviously, it's been a process over the last several years now where China has increasingly built out facilities on these islands, started in roughly 2012, the Chinese action in Scarborough Shoal, and then was followed by, of course, a lot of land reclamation and so on that's happened since then, which has really given the Chinese virtual control over the South China Sea. So the U.S. and its allies and partners obviously are trying to contest that changing chessboard on a fairly regular basis, mainly with the message that we will maintain the right of freedom of navigation to go through any international waters and to show presence to the Chinese. So obviously the Australians have been increasingly involved in those exercises. The UK, for the first time not so long ago, will be continuing to do so. And so this is just sort of an iteration, a new iteration, if you will, of the message to China that we will contest your efforts to turn the South China Sea into a Chinese lake.
We should be clear, this is about submarines powered by nuclear energy, not weapons. What will Australia do with this technology, and how will that affect what happens in the South China Sea?
Well, I think that's going to be an interesting part of this. And, you know, it's my sense that the administration, of course, was very clear in saying Australia is not pursuing nuclear weapons. And in fact, one of the main reasons why this decision was made was because of Australia's strong record on nuclear non-proliferation and non-proliferation in general throughout the years. It will be a challenge, technically, of course, because Australia does not have an indigenous nuclear capability or community. So in terms of maintaining and so on, that will be challenging. But obviously, I don't think we would have made this announcement unless we thought those technical challenges should be solved. In terms of the South China Sea, obviously, having nuclear propulsion allows for long stay deep sea patrolling.
Thinking more broadly, the U.S. is investing more of its resources here at a time when it just pulled out all of its troops out of Afghanistan. Is this the future of U.S. military strategy?
Most definitely. I mean, I think one of the things that pullout from Afghanistan allows is that you've, for 20 years, you've had forces, dollars, obviously, and a lot of policy attention, sucking up energy, if you will, in Afghanistan. That's all being released now to be redirected elsewhere. And so it's kind of interesting in that many of the architects of the original so-called pivot to Asia during the Obama administration are now back in the Biden administration. Kurt Campbell, who is the Asia czar at the National Security Council, was critical in that effort. And now they may actually get to more properly carry out that strategy from now nearly a decade ago.
You know, the U.S., Australia, and the U.K. didn't specifically call out China in making this announcement, but China is still criticizing this move, comparing it to the Cold War era. How threatened does China feel, and how do you think they might respond?
Well, they're certainly not going to like it. And they will see this, of course, as yet another installment in what they generally describe as U.S. and allied efforts to contain China's rise. In terms of their reaction, my sense is we'll continue to see this drive more escalation in terms of not only the building of capital ships by China, but increased controls. And it, you know, obviously validates the sort of senior leadership of China's view that indeed the U.S. is trying to cobble together a sort of similar coalition to that that faced the Soviet Union during the Cold War to contain China.
Christopher Johnson is head of China Strategies Group and former senior China analyst for the CIA. Christopher, thank you so much.
My pleasure.